Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We're going to take a few minutes and look at the Torah portion. This weekend's portion, Parshat Ki Tetzeh, is a very interesting one. It contains, according to those who count, more individual mitzvot or commandments than any other single parsha. I forget the number, 74, 94 different commandments are enumerated here. And some of them are very profound that have to do with the poor and with the aliens and with the widows. I want to talk about one of the commandments that you may never have heard a message about. And I hope you can take it with a light heart. It's found in Deuteronomy 23, starting in verse 12 in the English or 13 in the Hebrew. It says, designate a place outside the camp where you can go to relieve yourself. That's our basic text for today. And it continues, as part of your equipment, have something to dig with. And when you relieve yourself, dig a hole and cover up your excrement. For the Lord your God moves about in your camp to protect you and to deliver your enemies to you. Your camp must be holy so that he will not see among you anything indecent and turn away from you. I mean, this is a passage in the scriptures that you might wonder, why do we even need this? And yet there's something to be gained by looking at this. Now, of course, if you were living in a community, in a nomadic community of hundreds of thousands, even millions of people, this could be very important to you. Because according to every understanding of social culture, if you have low standards for sanitation, it will affect everybody, will it not? Some of you may have even traveled into countries or into cities where the sanitation, the public sanitation, is not very advanced. And maybe you've had to walk in streets where there are open sewers. How many have had that experience? Several of us. I can't say it's very many. How many of you have ever gone camping? If you've got hundreds of thousands of people together, of course it makes sense that there should be rules, that everyone wouldn't just do what's right in their own mind. This is like very basic instruction for such a community, but it also has some application for us, which we'll see in a few minutes. And there are good reasons for this to be here. Sanitation, of course, comes to mind. But I think another one is concern for other people. Rather than leave it up to every person or every family to have their own habits, it becomes a community standard that we will be concerned for other people and we will do our business outside the camp so that no one else will be contaminated by it. No one else will have to step in it. That's what it's saying. Now, this may make you a little nervous, you know, like, why, Rabbi, are you talking about these things? And you'll figure it out. What's interesting to me is in verse 14 that the explanation that's given is not the obvious. It doesn't mean that the other reasons that are obvious are not valid. There's an additional explanation given in 14, which is the Lord your God moves about in your camp to protect you, to deliver your enemies to you, and the camp must be holy so that he will not see among you anything indecent and turn away from you. Now, it's not the excrement itself that's inherently indecent. It would be leaving it in such a way that it would pollute the community or affect other people. That would be indecent. To have so little concern for the effect that our stuff has on other people, that would be indecent. So it's a lack of concern. And the instructions are very simple. If you can remember these three things, go outside the camp, take a shovel, and cover your excrement. Those are the clear instructions. Now, again, you might be saying, Rabbi, you shouldn't talk about such things in public. And yet, here our Bible is talking about it in public. And remember that every king of Israel was required to copy these words for himself. And these words were not just read to the whole community, they were sung to the community. Because the form of the Torah is a song. It's not just a prosaic writing or document that is meant to be written and mastered. It's a song to be sung. And so every year when you gather before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur during the month of Elul, you will hear a song about excrement in the synagogue and what to do with it. And it tells us something about how concerned God is for ordinary life and for the interest that he has in every part of life. And here is something that's just so ordinary, you might just say to yourself, why do we even need to talk about it? And I think this is here for us, not just so that we will understand the benefits of natural sanitation, even though those things are important. If you've ever been in communities that have polluted water supplies, or do not know how to eliminate the natural waste of their community, then you understand how disease is rampant in such places. And until the sanitation is improved, it's hard to overcome the disease. In fact, during the Middle Ages, in much of Europe, the Jewish people lived with a higher level of sanitation than the greater communities. And that's why often when there were plagues or rampant diseases that the general population faced, the Jewish people didn't pick up the infection. And during times of great anti-Semitism, it was charged against our people that we actually were the source of the disease. When in fact, we were living according to principles of sanitation that had helped us be spared from every disease that we could. So remember, excrement is natural, it's a natural product. I'm afraid you could even say it's all natural. Everyone has it, everyone makes it, everyone needs to eliminate it from our bodies, but you don't want to get it on others. That's this very simple message. Now, as serious as this passage is, Yeshua takes a hold of the idea and he turns it into something that I think is even more challenging than this. And he talks about how it's not the stuff that you eat that then comes out of your body that's the most dangerous. It's the stuff that actually lives inside the heart, not the stomach. That comes out of us another way, through our mouths, through our thoughts, through our actions, that is the more important things. So in Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23, we have a fascinating and provocative situation with Yeshua. There has, prior to this, been quite an argument and a challenge to Yeshua and his disciples. Why is it that your disciples, Yeshua has asked, are able to eat food without washing their hands? And you must understand that with the washing also goes a blessing to God. How is it that you allow that to happen? Because certain sects of Judaism considered it impossible to eat with unwashed hands because the hands were thus unclean. Now, Yeshua is not trying to undermine the idea of uncleanness or of any Jewish tradition. He is trying to emphasize the deeper applications of uncleanness. And so he begins to speak about these things, knowing that he's going to say things that are a bit confusing, and knowing that he is actually going to stir things up for people, not settle them down. Have you ever noticed that about Yeshua? Sometimes he is just a provocateur. It's always for a purpose. It's not just a personality quirk. But there are times when he will say things that just get people on edge. And maybe there are things you've read in the Scriptures that just put you on edge. Many people have the habit of skipping over those things. In fact, whole theologies have been created in order to explain away or minimize certain of the edgy things Yeshua said. But look at this, starting in verse 14 of Mark 7. Again, Yeshua called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this." So he's not just being quiet or looking to speak to people who already want to engage with him. He's saying, "Everybody, come here, I want to talk to you. And I want you to get this." And this is all he says. "Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." Now, this is an edgy saying because in Hebrew, the word for excrement is formed from the very word for going out of a man, going out. It's not like a dirty word. It just, in a certain form, it means what it means. But it's what goes out of you. So he's saying something, Yeshua is saying something that sounds like this. It's poop that makes a man unclean. But everybody knows he's not saying that. He's saying something different because he had already said nothing outside of a man can make him unclean by going into him. So it's not what you eat. You understand? And yet in Hebrew, it's got this edge to it. It sounds very confusing. And that's the only thing he says. And he's finished. Now, the teaching wasn't clear to his disciples. You see this in verse 17. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. You see, they didn't understand. And he says, kind teacher that he is, "Are you so dull?" Have you ever had a teacher like that? Well, I'm quite convinced that if Yeshua was alive today, many of us would not want to be his disciples. That if he talked to us the way he talked to his disciples, we would find reasons why we want another Yeshua, a different Yeshua. And we would probably correct his behavior, his attitude, and many other things, and explain to him how he could be a much better teacher and have a much greater impact if he didn't talk like this. I'm also convinced, this just has to do with my frame of mind these days, that if the apostles were walking on the earth today and they were ministering in the way and saying the things that they used to say, that they would not be welcome in many houses of worship that proclaim Yeshua or Jesus is Messiah. It would just be too confrontational and challenge us. Having said all that, I'm like setting the stage. Are you so dull? Which could as easily be translated into English, are you stupid? Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. Now something's becoming clear. What is Yeshua talking about? He's not really talking about food laws or even sanitation in the natural sense. He's saying, don't you see something about uncleanness? It's not primarily about what you eat. Because even if you eat something that's nasty, you will pass it out. It's just going through your stomach and it comes out. We all know that. What's unclean are the things that go into our hearts. But then he says something that reveals his psychology. Because Yeshua is not primarily concerned with people becoming clean by their contact with external things. He is saying that the problem is not that you will be pure and you'll come into contact with the things that are impure and that will make you unclean. The greater problem, he is saying, and this is part of his psychological understanding, The greater problem is that the things that are unclean in you will rule over you. And that's what he's putting his focus on. In verse 20, he went on and he says, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean." Now remember the double meaning in Hebrew. Sounds like excrement, but it's not. He says, "For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly." All these evils come from where? Inside, and make a man unclean. Now this is powerful to help us understand the actual nature of the new covenant. The new covenant has a dimension that the Sinai covenant doesn't have. The Sinai covenant does have clear, objective declarations about the commandments of God and what does it mean to do the will of God. The new covenant takes it a step further and writes those commandments on our hearts and on our minds and internalizes them, and not just leaving them in the condition of external rules, but they become internal motivations, revelations from God, instructions from God that are written on our hearts, that are connected to our love for God and God's love for us, that are always working in concert with our right relationship with God. Yeshua is saying the greatest danger that we face is not in our failure to conform to external regulations, but in our receiving into our hearts and allowing evil to grow in our hearts, the kind of evil that can be very common evil, just as common, if you will, as excrement. Envy. Who has not ever wrestled with envy? No one. Slander, folly, arrogance, greed. I mean, these things are so clear. Evil thoughts. Oh, doesn't that just feel terrible? Why couldn't you just be more specific and leave some of us out, Lord? But he's identifying both what we think of as extreme and those we don't think of as extreme. And he says, these evil things that you allow to live in your heart, these will really pollute you. And not only will they pollute you, by definition, they will pollute other people. Don't be worrying just about your excrement. In a natural sense, worry about your excrement in a relational sense. And Yeshua is provoking, without giving simple answers, he is provoking his disciples to think through, what is it I've let take up life in my heart that I have the power to stand against? It's a different psychology than many people have, which would say, oh, these evil thoughts or these conditions, you know, being a thief or being greedy or envious, these are the results of bad experiences in the past. Your mama didn't love you enough. Your daddy didn't take care of you right. It's simply their fault. Yeshua delivers us from that thinking. It's not that people don't have an effect on us. Of course they do. But in the new covenant, you actually have freedom to get beyond that because of him. And so we're not powerless, hapless victims of our past and the circumstances that we've experienced. Even though those circumstances may have wounded us or left us weak, we have the ability to take a position. Because the trouble that we face is right here. It's right here. Bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred. Have you ever come into contact with people who are just ruled by bitterness? Some profess the name of the Lord, and yet they're ruled by bitterness. And when you come into contact with such people, it feels like you get dirty being with them. They speak and you want to go wash off. In fact, all unrepentant sin, the sin we haven't turned away from, can become polluting and defiling to us. During this month of Elul, as we anticipate Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and prepare for them, we use the time to examine ourselves. And I hope we will make a commitment to get rid of what really makes us unclean, as well as the things that we can that we do that make other people unclean. And so what does that mean? It means go outside the camp. Don't bring that stuff into the camp. Take your shovel with you. Bury that stuff outside the camp. Don't just bring it in here. But remember, it's the stuff coming out of the heart that's the most important of all. Now, as we're taking care during Elul to examine ourselves, and we want to examine ourselves so that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're not just beginning, but we have actually begun to seriously deal with the things that help us grow in holiness and in our relationship with God. Even while we're doing that, it's important that we do the things that are useful to renew our hope now. Because sometimes you can fall into despair when you over-focus on your weaknesses, your flaws, your long-time problems. And that despair may stop you from going forward. So one of the cures for this, and I think it's important, is to be able to see things about yourself that are actually good, and to be clear with yourself about those things. This is not to make yourself proud or arrogant. It's to give you the confidence that God knows the good things in you and that you can know them too. And to allow you to say yes to those things that God loves about you. Now, if there is nothing in you that God loves, you have a bigger problem than I can address, certainly, in this message. But for many of us, we get into this time, especially in Elul, when you're searching, God, show me all these things, where you start seeing and it's like, I give up. Yeah, it's the same stuff from last year. Has nothing changed? And what you might not have noticed is that the problems you still have are similar. The battles you face may be similar, but your strength in dealing with them may have changed for the good. And you may not have realized that you have become stronger in loving the good things that God loves, and stronger in hating the things that take you away from Him, and yet you still have to do battle with what you have to do battle with. You still have to overcome temptations. You still have to resist. You may have to take stronger measures, but you're ready to take stronger measures than you ever were before. And so it requires, I think, this combination of humility before God and acknowledging what needs to change in us, and at the same time, this realization of what is good that's already in us, that we can harness, that we can reflect on, that we can connect with God about. Without that, it's impossible to fulfill the second commandment. Because we're told to love our neighbor as ourselves, but if we don't even love ourselves, in what way can we love our neighbor? When you see the good things that are in you, it will build your hope, and it will help you see good things in other people. and to call those forward. And sometimes the very best thing you can do for a person is shine your light on their good qualities, to show them what it is about them that is admirable, that is excellent, that is wonderful, that impacts you. And as you do that, because it's been done for you, you can do it sincerely. I'm not talking about flattery. But as you do that, you are doing a mighty and a spiritual work in equipping other people too. Now, flattery just means you're either saying nice things that aren't true, or you're saying true things, but for an ulterior motive, to get something from the person. I'm not talking about either of those. I'm talking about having experienced enough love yourself that you can love yourself in a way that helps you love other people. Because if you love others, Yeshua said, the way I have loved you, everyone will see that you're my disciples. The most powerful embodiment of the gospel of Messiah is genuine love one to another. Where there is love, everything else can work together. And where there's not, it doesn't even matter how many spiritual gifts you have. It doesn't matter how you prophesy. It doesn't matter how much you give to the poor or do humanitarian aid or things like this. Without love, it's empty and powerless in the name of the Lord. Well, that's my message. Remember your shovel. I'm sure some of you may be having a conversation with others and they say, so what did your rabbi speak about this weekend? You go, oh man, I don't even want to talk about it. I have no idea. Some of you say, I have no idea what he was talking about. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you stand up? Don't stand by yourself. If you are able to stand with someone else, gather with someone else. Yivarachecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai p'navilecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai p'navilecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord favor you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.